Today, our parish hosted a diocesan-wide gathering, and the speaker said actually quite a few things that were interesting, challenging, and thought-provoking. But perhaps the one that I thought was the most provoking in a good way, he asked the crowd, how many of you believe that the bread and wine that Father prays over becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ? And of course, all the hands went up in the room. And he said, it takes an immense amount of faith, first of all, he didn't say this part, to believe that God became man. And then to believe that the true God and true man in Jesus Christ then could also take what looks like, take bread and wine and transform it, transubstantiate it into his body and blood so that he could feed his people. That takes an immense amount of faith. And if you're a regular church-going Catholic, I hope that's part of what you mean when you say, I believe. But then he went on to say, and yet there's so many other parts of the Bible where we just reject, not formally, that God can do what he said he could do. And so today we have this story of Jesus healing the leper. Obviously, the first reading was very clear. Leprosy could destroy a community. And so if you got leprosy, you were an outcast. And the Lord healed him. And so the lesson isn't that God will heal us of every single injury and physical ailment that we have. But he does provide for what we need. Today, I'd like to illustrate that with two stories. One, today is a feast day of a relatively new canonized saint, Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio. St. Jose was only about 14 years old when he was a martyr in Mexico. And the one thing that he wanted to do was to be faithful to Christ the King. And during the revolution, the way out was to be unfaithful to Christ the King. And so they took this young boy, an eighth grader in our way of looking at things, and they peeled the skin off his feet and made him walk on salt and kept enticing him to curse God. And when he finally got to his burial place, he had one more opportunity, and he said, Vivo Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King, and then he died. God gave him everything he needed for salvation. And that young boy used every bit of it. Because it is supernatural grace that allows you, at whatever age, to stay faithful in that type of situation. The persecution did not end. He did not have long earthly life, but he stayed faithful to Christ. And then tomorrow we celebrate, although we don't because it's Sunday, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. If you've never been to this small little village in the southwest of France, it's stunning, naturally stunning. It's at the base of the mountain, this beautiful little chapel. And when you walk in, all of the walls are covered with crutches and every sort of thing you can think of that helps somebody with an ailment. Because thousands and thousands of people have been healed in the waters of Lourdes. And we had a priest, I didn't know him personally, but he was well known, who at a relatively young age was suffering from Parkinson's. And Father Dan Spexarth, who was living with this priest at the time, told me the story. So Father went to Lourdes to be healed of the Parkinson's. And when he came home, they were living at the cathedral with Monsignor Gilsonen at the time, Father Dan saw his car and he zipped right up to his room, and this priest, who had a little bit of an acidic personality, a little pointed way of humor, he was just shaking as he was before he left. And he said, "I've been healed." And Father Dan looked at him quizzically as if this was going to be a joke, seeing him shaking so badly, and said, "But you're still shaking." And he said, "I wasn't cured, but I was healed." He said, "I went over there with all sorts of angry emotions. Why me? Why do I have to have this? Why can't I do the things I want to do, be the priest I want to be, but instead I can hardly move?" And then he went to Lord, and he encountered an immense grace there that took none of his suffering away, but it did take the anger away. And the point of these stories is to remind us that God gives us what we need. But we've sometimes grown accustomed to praying for what we want, and there's nothing wrong with praying for a healing. We can pray for healing. But we do have to ask God to give us what we need to be his faithful sons and daughters. And sometimes that's a cure, and sometimes that's a healing. But all the time it's his grace. And that's why the cross is so important for us to meditate on regularly, because Jesus Christ teaches us that God does not abandon us, even when you face terrible suffering. And you all know somebody who has faced terrible suffering, but it doesn't mean God is not there. And so it takes a great act of faith to say that the second person of the Trinity incarnated as man, and that same incarnation then, through the miracle of transubstantiation through the ordained priest, becomes what looks like bread and wine. But it's also an act of faith to say that God will give me everything I need, even the grace to stay faithful in the face of torture and death, or in the face of great illness, in the face of whatever cross comes my way. God will not abandon you nor me.